You're listening to the Remote Mom Collective podcast, where moms can find their stride in the remote work world. Whether you currently work remotely or you want to, you're in the right place. I'm Brittany, the remote mom, and I've been working remotely since 2007. I became a mom in 2015, and there's a lot to learn. Together, we'll support, inspire, and empower each other on our journey to balance work, life, and motherhood from the comfort of our own homes or wherever we're working remotely. Together, let's redefine what it means to be a working mom. Let's support and inspire each other. Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Remote Mom Collective podcast. I am Brittany, the Remote Mom, and today we are going to be talking about imposter syndrome. I definitely have experienced it. Have you? I know that this is something that probably the majority of us have dealt with, and I wanted to talk about it today because I think that it's such a common feeling that we definitely need to address it and learn how we can support each other through it and grow from it and all of those good things. So let's go ahead and jump right in. Actually, before I do that, don't forget, I want to mention that there is a supplemental worksheet that you can download. If you go to the bottom of the show notes, then you can complete a form and it'll provide you with the PDF that you can then download and print off and handwrite out, or you can write down the questions and answer them yourself. I do like printing off and writing or handwriting myself instead of taking notes on my phone. For me, it sticks better in my head and it's a little bit better to go back and look through notes like through a physical journal if you're keeping these in a journal, or maybe you're putting them in a binder or something like that for self-care, self-development. But if not, that may be an idea that you could do. Go ahead and print off these downloadable templates and write on them and put them in a binder so that you can come back in a couple months and see how you've improved and see if you're still working through some of the things that we've talked about and see if any of the tools that we've mentioned have helped you in any way. All right, so let's jump in. I have definitely experienced imposter syndrome, but you know what? Actually, let's talk about what it is first. Imposter syndrome is when you feel like you don't belong somewhere, you doubt yourself, you feel inadequate, maybe you feel like a fraud. Now, I'm not talking about saying that you can do all of these kinds of things and you put it on a resume to get a job and you get a job and then you're like, oh my gosh, I really don't know how to use Salesforce. I have no clue. I've never even gotten in Salesforce and I told everybody that I knew how to do it. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm talking about doing anything where you feel like you could potentially be a leader in something or you could be an expert in something, but when somebody else claims you as an expert, it feels a little weird. So I am not an expert in imposter syndrome, and I'm not even an expert in remote working. I'm just somebody who has been doing it for so long, and I decided to start a podcast to help people with navigating that remote working world. I am no expert. Maybe you think I am because I have more experience in that particular field than you do, but I don't classify myself as an expert, and maybe I should. I am pretty knowledgeable and I am well connected and I do know how to network with people really well. So maybe that is something that I need to be a little bit kinder with myself about and say, yes, I am an expert in remote working and networking and I can teach other people how to do those things. So working through those feelings of doubt where you feel like, oh gosh, I just can't do this. I told them I could, but I just can't do it. And it can make people not show up to things. It can make you feel so overwhelmed that you're going to let other people down. And it is a very, very common thing. Have you ever gotten a promotion? Maybe you have a new title, or maybe you're the leader of your volunteer group and you're the president and you have to make decisions on behalf of that group. And you feel like, what did I do to get this role? And how do I make these decisions for this entire organization? Or how do I lead these people to make decisions? And the thing that you have to realize is that you are in that role for a reason. And if you weren't good enough to be in that role, or if somebody didn't believe in you being in that role, then you wouldn't be there. And maybe that's the case. Maybe you got kind of thrown into it and you're figuring it out, and it turns out that this is not your thing. Totally fine. Imposter syndrome still exists in that. But what if you go into it and it turns out that you're really good at it, which is actually kind of how I got into the leadership roles of some volunteer groups that I was in over the years. I first started out, dipped my baby toe in doing events and welcoming new members. And then, as roles opened up and I got more and more involved and understood the organization and the structure and the communication, and I saw places where things could be improved. And then I changed roles. And then eventually I became the president. And that's happened in a couple of different organizations. And I did feel at some points where I was like, oh my gosh, I don't belong here. Why am I the one making the budget for this thing? Or how am I the one that has all the knowledge and can make the decisions on this particular event? But the fact of the matter is that you are there and you are the one that makes that decision, and you don't have time to sit there and question yourself to be like, am I really right for this role, or am I really in the right position? Because honestly, if you are thinking that, then maybe you shouldn't be in that role, or maybe you need to do a little bit more development to make yourself feel more qualified, I guess, to be in that role. So if you don't feel like you're an expert, maybe you need to do a little bit more research. And perhaps going back to me being an expert in remote working, perhaps this podcast is me working through some places where I don't feel like an expert in this role of giving you information about remote working, and maybe I will feel like an expert, and maybe that will be something that I can fall back on and say, look, I am an expert in this and I can help you. So there are activities that you can do to help build your self-confidence and help you reinforce those feelings of, I think I can do this. Or it can amplify those feelings of, I really don't know what I'm doing. So I either got to figure it out or I got to fudge my way through this. Sometimes fudging your way through it is the way to go if you are on the spot. And I used to always think that you had to perfect something before you could progress to the next level. And I'll give you kind of, this is kind of a way off example, but I'll give you an example. So I was a cheerleader growing up. If you've listened to the podcast before, you know this. And we used to do stunts and we used to do all kinds of things. I got hurt all the time and they weren't perfect every single time that you did them. So then, after I graduated, my husband and I were living in a place where they were looking for volunteer cheer coaches. And this particular place was known for its cheerleading. They got awards all the time. Now, look, I was a really good cheerleader. I was not a competitive cheerleader. I was captain, but I didn't really do it to be the best, or I didn't do it to compete. I did it because I loved it and it was fun. So the competitive part for me was not there. I volunteered to be a cheer coach for this particular youth organization, and I had a bunch of 6-year-olds on my cheer team, which I love kids, but I will never do that again. I didn't have any kid, I didn't have my daughter at the time, so I think I was 28 or something, and I decided to do this because I thought it would be fun. I missed cheerleading and I knew I was good at it. So I became this coach, and we were working on stunts, little stunts for little girls. It wasn't anything crazy. We weren't doing basket tosses or, fulls or liberties or any of those kinds of things, if you know what those are. And I remember we were working on a choreographed routine because we were going to work as a bigger team to compete somewhere. And we were working on stunting. And so I had more than 6-year-olds on this competitive team. I remember thinking, oh my gosh, these people are so crazy about their stunting. Like, they won't let them go past this particular spot and to move on to the next skill. And sometimes you just have to kind of fudge through it to get there because the more that you practice it, it's not going to be perfect every single time. It's not going to be perfect. And that particular coach, the head coach that won all of the awards, never let her teams move on to the next level until they perfected the first level. So they couldn't move on. They couldn't move from a thigh stand to a half. So imagine, a thigh stand is when somebody's standing on two people's thighs. So you're making kind of like a triangle shape. And then a half is when two cheerleaders have their hands kind of at their chests, and then somebody standing on top of that. So it's kind of like a pyramid. I guess it is a pyramid. So, but she wouldn't even let her teams go from a thigh stand to a half until it was 100% perfected, the thigh stand to the half. And one of the things that we always did growing up is it was like even the thigh stands got messed up sometimes, but you jumped into the half immediately afterwards and it was no big deal. This woman was adamant, perfection before progression, perfection before progression. And I thought, oh, okay, well, she knows what she's doing because she's clearly won all these awards before. So I went with it. And I thought, okay, well, maybe that's how you do things. Maybe it has to be perfection before progression. And perhaps that's the case for certain things. Maybe it's for that is true for athletics and all of those kinds of things where you're building a foundation. Okay, sure. I also think you learn from mistakes, and I think that it's not going to be perfect every single time. And if you've ever competed or done anything in real life when your adrenaline is going, it is not going to be perfect every single time. That's just the way that it works. So, in my opinion, it's practice it, practice it, practice it, no matter if it's sloppy or not. And then you can eventually get there and fudge your way through it. So, I had this perfection before progression mindset in my mind for so long. And then I would meet people who were working places or going, I was volunteering in different organizations, and it was like, let's just get it done and get it out there, and then we'll fix it as we go. And I'm like, what do you mean? We need it needs to be perfect before we move on to the next step. And I realized that that perfection before progression doesn't really work for many, many, many things. And again, going back to sports, maybe that is something in sports. And if somebody has experience with that, please definitely let me know. Maybe that is something that is specific to learning something when it comes to gymnastics, cheerleading, sports, those kinds of things. Progression can happen even if there's imperfection. Case in point, this podcast, I had an idea, I had no plan. I literally launched it in a couple of days. It actually started out with a different idea of where I was trying to do this whole self be true authenticity. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna sell affirmation cards on Etsy and yada, yada, yada. And it just wasn't me. It was a little too, I like woo-woo things, but that was not me. So then I thought, all right, podcasting, I can do a podcast. I've done this before. I can build a website on Canva. It doesn't have to be perfect. I can get recordings out there and start communicating with people and start building this network with the understanding that things get better as you go. So I already had that little bit of a foundation with experience of building a podcast before. But I can tell you guys, as this podcast is going to move on and grow and keep moving, it's going to get better and better and better. Processes are going to get better. Audio recordings are going to get better. Topics are going to get better. Audience size is going to get better. Guests are going to get better and better. It's just going to get better. And we have to do it in order to get better. So yes, coming on this podcast and saying, I'm Brittany, the remote mom, I definitely am going through a little bit of imposter syndrome here because I'm like, am I the remote mom? Am I really the remote mom? Like, who am I to call myself that? So definitely give yourself grace in understanding that you do not have to be perfect. And the majority of people out there understand that. And if they don't, then okay, I don't know that I want to be around those people who think that they're perfect and that there has to be perfection, because honestly, that just sounds a little boring to me. Know that imposter syndrome is a real thing and people go through it all the time. People you have no idea are going through it, are going through it. And it's really normal. So if it's something that you feel, do not feel like you are alone. I mentioned being perfect, and I know some people are very particular about the certain ways that they do things and the certain ways that they look and the certain ways that they speak, and they don't like to make mistakes. And I get that. My daughter is one of those people. Everything has to be perfect. Now, her room is super messy, but she's very particular about clothes and the way she draws, and her handwriting is perfect. And if her hair isn't a certain way, she gets all bent out of shape. So perfectionism is definitely something that I think could play a role in this imposter syndrome feeling. And You can get through that, I think, if you just understand that people are there to support you, even if you mess up. If you don't have to be perfect to impress me, at least, but I'm going to still be your friend and I'm still going to think you're a leader and I'm still going to think that you know what you're talking about, even if you make a mistake. And in fact, I'd rather be around leaders and people who have made mistakes and who could admit that they've made mistakes because that means that they learn from them. We make mistakes in life and we learn from them. I've made so many mistakes in my life and I've learned from them. And the ones that I haven't learned from, I will eventually learn from those. Also, think about what has happened in the past when you have failed doing something and the criticism that you have received. Has it been criticism from a partner, a parent, a child, a friend, a sibling? Who has that criticism come from? Yourself. And what can you do to help with that criticism? Also, let's talk about social expectations. We feel like people in the social world, we feel like people have these expectations of us, and maybe they do. If you're an Instagram influencer and you have all of these really aesthetically perfect po posts and your life is perfect, and so everybody's going to think that you're perfect because that is the vision that you've given everybody. That is what you represent. And the moment that you are not perfect, people are going to point that out and they're going to be like, that's not on character. So if you just start off not being perfect, then you don't have to worry about messing up in the future, right? I think what's more important is thinking about your own expectations. What do you expect to get out of it? If you can set your own expectations and just say, look, okay, I'm going to give this podcast a good solid 90 days and I'm going to give it my all. And if it isn't in X, if it doesn't have this many downloads and this many people commenting, and if I don't have this many guests or whatever those goals are, then I'm going to give up. But don't do that before. And you're going to mess up, guys. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to say something wrong. It's going to offend somebody. And of course, I don't mean to. And of course, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But the fact of the matter is I'm a human being and I'm going to make a mistake. I could also sit here and pretend like I am perfect and that I am the expert in all things remote work and I know everything. And you're going to come to this podcast and you're going to learn everything from my knowledge. And if I don't know the answer to your question, I'm just going to give you the wrong answer. And that is not what I want to do. I would never do that. If I don't know the answer to something, I'm going to tell you, I don't know the answer to that. Let me find out and get back to you. Because people are expecting, all people want from you is for you to be yourself and to be authentic because they want to trust you. So if that can help you get over your imposter syndrome, the more that you can come out and be like, look, I'm the new guy here, and I am just honored to be considered a leader in this space, or I am honored to be in this position, and I have a lot to learn, but I'm really excited to learn, and I'm excited to share what I'm learning with other people. I think if you're just open and honest about it, it really helps. Like if you can kind of explain to others and be like, look, I'm new at this, and I'm gonna be open and honest and real. And then I think you're even going to build a better connection with people. So don't be too hard on yourself when you feel like you should know more about something and you don't. Admit that you don't. Read up on it and then come back and be like, you know what? You asked me that question and I didn't know the answer, but I was really curious about it. And now I do. And guys, that's when you turn into people who are known for knowing information and knowing their stuff because you proved that if you don't know the answer to something, you're going to research it and you're going to learn and that you want to learn and you want to improve. Imposter syndrome can be really scary and it can be something that can keep you from doing things. You have to cultivate your own self-worth and really understand who you truly are to be authentic so that you can celebrate your achievements, understand your strengths and your unique qualities, and understand that you're in the position or people look up to you for a reason. People are coming to you and asking these questions, or they're offering you this role, or they're saying you belong at this seat at this table and we want your expert opinion. Oh my gosh, I'm an expert in yada yada. Maybe you have been all along and you just didn't realize that's what people thought of you. Maybe one thing you need to do is connect with somebody who you consider to be an expert in a certain area and see how they feel about it. See, talk to them about imposter syndrome. See how they experience it, if they experience it, what they do to get over it. I think these kinds of conversations are really good to have with each other, especially for people you admire. Maybe you have a mentor you can talk to and just talk with them through their own imposter syndrome, because I guarantee you, every person is going through or has gone through imposter syndrome at some point in their life. One way that you can help build up your confidence and help you, I don't know, get better at understanding your skills is ask for feedback and learn from those failures that I mentioned before. Ask for feedback. Do something and go back to whatever, whoever you delivered that something to and say, can you please tell me how I did? How did you like how I communicated with you? How did you like how I delivered the product to you? Did you feel like I cared about you when we were consulting about the project? Ask those questions, get that feedback, and do better. And then you can build your skills and get more confidence and more confidence. You have to do that one first thing to build the foundation. And the more you do it over and over and over again, the easier it becomes. For example, I am building a department in my current position, and it's really fun because there's really no guidelines. I'm building this on the go, and we're pivoting based on feedback we get from people that we're hiring. We get it from our clients, we get it internally, and we're constantly getting better, and we're learning from our mistakes, and we're reducing issues. And when there is a mistake, because there are going to be mistakes, that is inevitable. There will be mistakes. Nothing is perfect. So as long as you can go back to the client, go back to the employee, go back to the team member and say, look, I messed up. This is what I noticed was wrong. I'd like to know what you think is wrong in this situation, and then I'll come back to you with a plan. Then you see what you formulate a plan, you go back to the client or the person you hired or your coworker, and you say, all right, so based on what you felt was the outcome of this product, and based on the outcome on my feelings, this is the plan that I've come up with to prevent this from happening in the future. That is how you build confidence in what you are doing. You do, you learn, you redo, you pivot, you change, you do it again, and then you can speak to it. I set up for furnished corporate apartments for 15 years. I can talk to you expertly on how far in advance you should be ordering the furniture, how far in advance you should be calling the cable company to get the cable phone and internet installed. I can tell you some of the cable jargon that I've learned over the years so that I can get Comcast and other cable providers to get things done for me. Because when you speak their language, they actually listen. When you speak their language, they actually listen. Think about that. You know what you're talking about when you use certain words, and that they pick up on that. So if you feel like you're an imposter in a specific industry, in a new job, in a new club, in a new circle, whatever that is, pick up on words that they're using, learn it, use those words, and then you're an expert. You know what you're talking about. Build up that confidence. Nobody has to approve of you. As long as you approve of yourself, that is all that matters. Be compassionate with yourself. It's so hard. It is so hard to be compassionate with yourself, but give yourself grace. If you mess up, or if you end up not starting, or you delay something, or you quit something, give yourself a moment to breathe and process it and think about it. Well, what was I really afraid of? What am I really afraid of? Get to the bottom of it. Am I afraid of falling off the stage? Okay, well, Jennifer Lawrence did that going up to accept her Oscar, and she got up, addressed it, and then moved on. Okay, no problem. I have fallen many a times. I have run into glass doors, and I wasn't drinking. These kinds of things happen. They happen to everybody. You step on a piece of toilet paper and you walk down the hall and it's stuck to your shoe. These things happen to everybody. The fact of the matter is that the ones that really seem self-confident and the ones that seem authentic are the ones that own it and say, "Oh my gosh, I got toilet paper on my shoe. Whoops. Happens to the best of us," and just laugh it off. First couple of times you do it, it's really embarrassing. But the more you get used to being like, "Oh, it's just me." Remember our friends when they would be like, "She pulled a Monica." Like, just live it, just make it real, make it part of you. Understand that you are not perfect. People understand that you're not perfect. You need to understand it's okay to not be perfect. People will still accept you if you mess up. So listen, your true worth does not amount to what other people think of you. I think that your true worth is what you think of yourself. I think if you think very poorly of yourself, then you are not going to feel like you're worthy of a lot. But if you think you're smart and you're innovative and you may not know everything, but you're willing to learn and you want to try, you want to at least try. Nobody can get mad at anybody for trying. Just try. Put your ego aside. Understand that everybody starts somewhere. Even if you're considered an expert, maybe you're being asked to speak somewhere about that particular topic. And you're like, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to mess up and I'm going to completely forget everything that I say. And these people are going to think horribly of me. And I'm going to just stand on stage and I'm just going to stand up there and go, or I'm going to say like way too many times." That may happen the very first time that you do it. I will tell you, one of the really good things about having a podcast, when I had my first podcast, I realized how many times I said like and when I would go through and edit those podcasts because I was the one that did the editing and the producing. And wow, that was a great learning experience because what's really cool is I trained myself to stop saying like. I don't say as much anymore. I kind of just do a pause. But it's been really helpful. And the first time I did a podcast, I didn't know that I said so many likes and so many Now I don't say it. Imposter syndrome is real. We all experience it. And I think the important thing to remember is you got to start somewhere. And all you can do is just try. I would love it if you would try. If you are trying something, please, please, please tag me. I'm on Instagram. Up oh, there, I just said an I'm on Instagram, Brittany the Remote Mom. You can also find me on Threads, Brittany the Remote Mom. Facebook, I think, is the Remote Mom Collective. Pinterest, whatever you want to do, send me an email, the Remote Mom Collective at gmail.com, and let me know what you're trying. Let's try new things. I've never done public speaking. I've done some public speaking at events when I'm introducing something or getting ready to have the event go on. I've sung karaoke. I've done small things, but I've never actually stood up and have spoken in front of a large group of people. And that is something that I think that I would like to try at some point. So let's work on trying to do new things. But you know what? I will have imposter syndrome if and when that opportunity comes up for me. I will have it and it will be scary, but you know what? I will power through and I will probably fall on my face and I will probably lose my notes and all of those things. But all you can do is be authentic and just say, "Look, hold on a minute. I gotta find my notes. I gotta take a deep breath. Please take a selfie with me because I'm so nervous." Whatever you need to do to let the audience get in and relax and laugh, make it a laughable moment. If you make it relatable, then it doesn't feel as scary when other people can chime in and say, "Oh, yeah, that happened to me too." Just know you're not alone. Imposter syndrome is something that everybody goes through, and there are ways that we can work through it. Talking about it is a great way, sharing examples is a great way, practice is a great way. So with that being said, we'll go ahead and end this episode. I hope you enjoyed the topic today. If you have any topic ideas that you'd like to me to cover, or if you would like to come on and be a guest and cover and talk about it on the Remote Mom Collective podcast, please, please, please email me at theremotemomcollective@gmail.com and we can make that happen. Don't forget to scroll down to the bottom of the show notes and download the supplemental worksheet with this episode today. And as always, being different makes a difference. So let's support and inspire each other. Have a great day, y'all.